Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another illustrious episode of News of My Fiance. I am DJ Ambush, and I am joined by Morgan Jones.
That's me.
Yup. And for any new listeners, you'll be joined throughout the show by our fiancés out there via text message. And if you want to join that conversation, if you hear something that, you know, grinds your gears or gets you excited, or just maybe you just want to chime in on it, shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. That is 971-220-5979. Yeah. Came with my Bob Barker this morning.
I liked it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yesterday was Valentine's Day.
Valentine's.
Yes.
Yes.
Please forgive me.
Okay. It's all right. Everyone gets one.
Wishing all of our fiancés a wonderful consumer holiday. No?
I don't know why that caught me off guard. I know who you are.
The funny thing is that your back was turned to me just now, and your shoulders, that was an unexpected response.
That completely caught me off guard. That was hilarious. As you continue on.
I just want, you know.
Okay.
Hugs and Hershey kisses or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Oh my gosh. Wait a minute. So we got a text already. 100% have started singing Tell Me What It's All About.
Oh, yes. That is exactly what happened.
Before. But this morning, I restrained myself.
You know what, fiance? That's amazing. Also, I am extremely early on certain things in certain songs.
Yeah.
And I'll hit you with the Tell Me What It's All About. Definitely. I don't know. Way before it's supposed to happen.
2 bars before.
Thank you. I was like, I don't know how many bars that would be. I'm not good at that.
You're only ever off by 2 bars.
Okay.
Yeah. Whenever you're early, it's just 2.
I think I'll take this. Nate, yeah. The do math, I take math this? Or all the is time this, for me. Is he being incredibly rude to me?
No. And the reason you should take it is because it shows consistency. It's not like you're just all over the place and you had no idea what the songs are and it's just, I know this song and you just throw it anywhere. No. It's a consistent 2 bars. You're only off that every single
time. Ahead of time, baby. Yeah. And I'm starting that song.
Yeah. You're like, get into it. All right.
I'll wait.
All right.
Dang.
Okay. Get into it. That's usually That's what exactly, happens.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
You're right. Dang. All right.
When they know you.
Pretty much.
You know?
It's been quite the week. We say that nearly every week.
Because welcome to human existence.
I guess. The simulation.
It's always going to be quite the week around here. Jeez.
Oh, when they just, you know, switch things up and press a different button and change our whole reality and give us things like fentanyl addicted pigeons that are now becoming cannibals. And I know that you're saying, Morgan, stop it.
Yeah, for real. Sci-fi week isn't now. This is
it is not sci-fi is week, but non-friend of the show, Kevin Dahlgren.
Yeah,
is back at it. This time coming with some D-grade horror concepts.
Outhouse films.
Oh, is that a real thing or?
Well, it's a play on Blumhouse. But you guys are trash.
Wow. Look what happens in the movie world over there. You guys got your own little snubs and everything. Well, this guy is, back paying people to say weird things in front of a camera. And not as if that's unexpected.
Right.
But this time, Ambush, I know that we have talked about this before. The people putting drugs in the candy during Halloween so that your kids will then, I guess, be addicted to the drugs that were put inside, or like there's a razor blade in an apple or something, like the people are coming for you, kids.
Or most recently, what's been reported are that members of the houseless population are citizens, you know, fellow citizens, are out here offering school children free fentanyl.
Well, because they give it away, Ambush, like you just, you don't have to pay for it.
So
it's free. And so why wouldn't I share my wealth? No? Okay. Well, one, they're not doing that. Just like they're not putting
razor blades
and apples and giving those away, or sprinkling, you know, your candy with methamphetamine.
And giving you the wiggles. Yeah.
It's a real hot potato.
Yeah.
I can't believe, why would you say the wiggles?
What do they call them? The shakes? The fentanyl shakes or whatever?
I don't know what they call them.
Crap.
In any instance, when someone says the wiggles, I think of the actual group The Wiggles.
Oh, wow. And okay.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I apologize for doing that.
And I hot potato.
I brought some, that's, you know. All right.
Wow. Well, anyway, what I was trying to get at is, you know, Kevin got out there on the streets. He's, you know. Got after it. Right back out there. And this time he's saying that there are meth addicted geese and the meth has made them aggressive. How are they getting the meth, you ask? It's a purposeful, people are feeding.
Oh my God.
People are feeding geese.
Because they're so meth rich, they're spreading it to
meth.
Geese. They're just feeding geese all willy nilly.
And then they're also giving pigeons fentanyl, which is in fact Ambush, turning them, the pigeons, into fine young cannibals. Fine young cannibals. I couldn't get it out.
She drives me crazy. Stepped on my own joke. She drives me crazy. Morgan.
Yeah, that's me.
Why are the geese and pigeons on different drugs?
Now that is something I guarantee you he didn't ask.
Okay.
You know? This is the same person that said that there were people putting, you know, fentanyl on doorknobs in grocery stores to get you to be a fentanyl addict, I guess, because fun times.
I just want them to write better dystopian horror.
This is what I'm saying. This is D grade, right?
Yeah. Put the pen down. Like, get you a whiteboard. Walk around the room. You know, go outside. Get some fresh air. Walk the dog. Come back in. Throw some ideas on the whiteboard. Make some coffee. You know.
I want to hear from Rudo.
Okay.
Because I want to know what this treatment, like, does this sound like it can go somewhere? Can we flesh this out and make money off of Kevin Dahlgren? Let's exploit him instead of him exploiting houseless people.
Flush it down the can. That's the only can involved in this whole situation.
All right, fair enough.
We got a couple more texts. Love the incredible DJ nerdery. Get you a partner who knows how many bars off you are. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Fentanyl addicted pigeons. This is definitely Renee's fault. And then there's expletive him.
Yes.
Also, agreed. Grand Rising, y'all magical fiancés, the rainbow ride on mushrooms.
I mean, here, okay, before we, because I'm not done with Kevin. Doesn't he have legal woes he should be concerned about right now?
Oh, I mean, he's definitely been charged with multiple charges of fraud and theft, I believe, identity theft. I mean, man's got things to worry about.
Man's got concerns.
But, you know, how else do you get people to pay for your legal fees? You have to tell the people who pay attention to you that you've cracked another case. You know, who else is Magnum PI other than Kevin Dahlgren?
This is okay. Let me.
So I got to get out here. I mean,
I got to get out here.
I got to get out here, guys. I got to make some coins.
You got to be fly. You got to.
Oh, my gosh. I had that on in the background yesterday.
Kathy, you got to let me fly. You had it in the background while you were working?
Yeah. Is that a TLC reference?
I don't know how you can work to that.
It was hard. I'll tell you that. I did a lot of laughing, though.
Okay, that whisper fight at the funeral is just too much for me. It's overboard.
Overboard. Are you guys a fan of the other guys? If you haven't seen it, will you watch it today?
Please, guys. Please watch the other guys. Do you want to laugh? It is hilarious. It's so good. So good.
But anyway, Kevin Dahlgren would never make it on the other guys.
No. He'd do a desk pop over and over again.
Definitely desk pop
it. Yeah, he'd desk pop over and over again. Thinking, did it get it right this time, guys? Mm. Pigeons are the... So wait, it's the meth? Who's
the meth is making the geese aggressive, okay. Because geese aren't already aggressive. You know, like that's not a part of their actual nature. That's never been the case.
Tell me you've never been around geese.
They've always been like the sweetest little chirps.
The
you know?
Only safe way to be around geese is in your car.
Is to not be around geese.
Yeah. Bruh, geese don't play. Nah,
well, that's apparently because they've been on meth all this time.
All this time. Who knew? And then the pigeons are on fentanyl.
Yes, which causes them to eat each other.
Because you've never seen pigeons eat pigeons before?
I mean, I don't know if Kevin knows this, but pigeons are rats of the sky.
They eat everything. Fried chicken outside of Jack's.
Well, but so he's saying that they eat the tinfoil that you have used.
And then
to smoke your fentanyl.
Okay, so the geese are being purposely fed meth.
Indeed.
And then the pigeons have taken it upon themselves to acquire fentanyl.
Indeed.
And now they've developed a taste for meat of other pigeons.
Okay. That sounded like on the other guys when he's like, and we're a school of tuna, and we've developed a taste for lion. Didn't go how you thought it would, did it?
Oh my god.
Another test. What is wrong with me? Text.
Testing technology.
I am testing the text line. LOL, get that Measure 101 money for the birds. They deserve to have a sober life.
Oh my god.
I want to go home already. Oh. Y'all are so unserious. I love it here. Bam. They do. The birds do deserve life.
Yes.
Who's going to tell them about Jesus first?
Oh, my gosh.
Is that what Kevin's doing? Is he out there with Watchtower?
No. Is he a Scientologist? What is it?
How will they get clean, in Kevin's opinion?
Right.
Is there a Dr. Doolittle rehab center somewhere? A geese prison. They were trying to divert them. Don't go to. Don't ruin their lives.
I mean, it's just ludicrous that we're even having this conversation. They are allowed to throw whatever into the air.
Yes, they are.
And we just have to encounter it. No one at any point is like. No one just looks over their shoulder and says, okay, that's dumb. And he just keeps moving forward.
No, I disagree. The people that do exactly that are just not in a position that matters in the moment.
Mm.
Because it's the people that hear him talking that don't do that. And they're like, yeah, actually, this guy's an advocate for houseless people. And he's going to help us get our finger on the pulse. Those folks, I would love, bend over backwards. To interview the people that have hired that guy.
Mm.
Because any hiring manager instance, if that is on your record, and the only way you can redeem yourself is to actually acknowledge that you got duped.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't just be like, well, you know, roll of the dice, or you know, whatever you're gonna say. Like, man's defrauded multiple cities, multiple states. It's a formula, and the fact that you don't have to, like, I don't know, reference check, take a peek, talk to someone else before you hire a consultant in that way.
I mean, was there an interview?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Does he have a portfolio he sends to every city? And it's just like, here's what we do over here at We Heart Seattle, We Heart Portland, We Heart Bend, We Heart. We're just over here fixing the homeless crisis. I wonder how come none of those places have fixed the... It might have something to do with him being a poverty pimp.
A little bit.
It might have something to do with, you know, poverty being a policy choice. And when the people in power don't care and don't want to see a situation actually not just be solved, you know, but like permanently, because that would involve not wasting our money. That would involve not being a raging capitalist.
Right.
You know, like you can't take care of your fellow folk if you are trying to make money off of it.
I want us to have like problems that are indicative of like living in the future, living in this a utopia. That's the type of problems that I want. Like, I don't want us to be constantly dealing with potholes and there aren't enough lights in the street. The problems I want our civic leaders to be dealing with is like, you know what? We have so many jobs. There's just so many jobs. I don't know what to do with myself. What? We ran out of places to plant trees. And the new Max line, it's so efficient. Like, I want dumb problems. I want problems that aren't problems. I don't want these really ridiculous, how are we still here dealing with this issue that's older than the people in office to fix them? Like, what are we, like, we're not, we can't get any of it right?
I mean, but
none of it?
I would say that we actually do focus on problems that aren't problems. They're just, like, not a positive fake problem, you know, like you're saying. Of, whoa, we've ran out of space to plant trees because we've planted so many.
Right.
It's more we've run out of space to plant trees because Ritz-Carlton has to be here.
Thanks, Walt Bowen.
Like, you know, the problems we're dealing with are not just the regular, degular, oh, yikes, this is what comes with, right. In order to have, you know, certain systems running, you got to have certain systems, I mean, certain people oppressed.
Running them. I want to circle back to that Ritz-Carlton, but before we leave, Dahlgren, Kevin here, I want everyone to pay attention to the pivot. Don't get lost in the shuffle of what's happening here. All right? He is switching from representing the houseless community to the Burr community. This is where the next batch of his dollars are going to come in.
Oh, my God.
Okay? Okay? The industrial complex, he is switching the model. And now we'd be going around the cities advocating for the aviary community? No. Advocating for the birds. Just you watch. And the funny part is, I mean, on the other side of that, birds aren't real, right? Pigeons aren't real. So
none of those birds are real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that?
Get to the bottom of that. Mm-hmm. Just stealing
maybe
money.
Maybe he's playing the long game.
I think he is.
Maybe that's what he's going for.
Yeah.
But if the birds aren't real, how are they addicted to fentanyl?
The fentanyl makes it real.
Oh. This has got me confused.
Hey, that's right where Kevin wants us. Completely. I'm not going for it. How can you fix your mouth to say it in real life?
favorite part is that he doesn't. He pays people to say wild things. I mean, he's DJ Vlad, just of the homeless community.
Whoa. I didn't see that coming.
That's what he does. It's just, there is no, there's no way he's not exploiting people. There's no ethical way to do what you're doing. And one of my largest points, and what we will also get to when talking about Renee, is if you have to make it up or you have to lie to get people to agree with you, they do not agree with you.
Period.
You are just creating a story. You are just fabricating. So now you are whipping people up for a thing that didn't happen, for a thing that isn't real. And that's a problem that isn't a problem. And that is where we live right now, is in this frenzy of non-problems, all in an effort to not even be able to focus a moment on the problems that actually exist and need to be solved, that have solutions.
That I mean, have like
the wildest part for me is that there is just, we have it.
Right there. Right there.
And we are allowing like outside moneyed interests to come in and cause this wild amount of division in a place that used to be prideful of taking care of each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just absolutely stunning to me that Portland continues to have this progressive reputation, undeserved from the beginning, but there were things. There were things that we were doing that other places weren't. And I guess, you know, that makes it a leftist utopia somehow. But when you're really looking at who has been running this city, add in how this outside moneyed interest has shifted how people look at politics. And I don't mean that that's just happening here. I mean, that is a national and a global situation.
Absolutely.
And we should really take a moment to thank the booger of a man, Steve Bannon, for being able to fly around the world to plant these little seeds. Because fascism is cool when you are on the side of the powerful. To not take care of the problem that you pretend to care about so much that it's the only thing that you can talk about. It's the only thing that grinds your gears, you know. On your way into your office, you've got to see somebody living outside. If you cared, you would also want a permanent solution. And it would not bother you that that permanent solution includes some tax dollars you have paid. Because it doesn't bother you when they send it to a different country for war. It doesn't bother you when they send it to a different country for funsies. Like, if you're not tracking where the money goes and being upset about the waste, being upset about how much money gets spent in other places for things that never benefit you, completely unserious about the money spent on houseless folks, on creating affordable housing. There is just something, the systems of capitalism, white supremacy, have made it so that we honestly are arguing about who deserves housing. You know what I mean? Like, that's a wild concept.
But just the phrase of affordable housing.
Right.
Is it housing if it isn't affordable?
Like, if it's not affordable, what is it? What does it mean, affordable housing, to you in your mind? Is that the projects? Like, are you just like, yeah, we could have a couple of apartment buildings for the major poors, but like us people over here, we'll just, should we not all want affordable housing, I guess is the point. Should
right.
There was a guideline, you know, at one point where your housing costs should not cost more than a third of your income. Laughable then, laughable now.
Right.
And completely. I guess what I will say is laughable in my adult lifetime.
And it's not,
I don't know,
better.
It may have been not laughable in someone else's adult lifetime.
Yeah.
But since I have been living on my own, paying rent, there has never been a moment. Actually, that's not true. Maybe when I lived in a different state, was I paying with a much, you know, lesser cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because of the cost of living there, not because I was making so much money.
Right.
You know what I mean? But there's an understanding. There's some sort of understanding that you shouldn't be spending all of your money on the shelter that you then live in. And the way that we are able to be so upset with the symptoms, we are so mad at the people that can't afford to pay, but we have no ire. There is not even a side eye for the people who developed that, for the people who are getting the humongous multi-million dollar tax breaks and then completely breaking their agreements that got them those tax breaks. We're never upset with them. Like, when are we mad at the wage theft? We are talking about retail theft where they are making it up. They are making it up, and people are taking that and believing in their minds that they have seen all of this theft happening around them.
They're juking
the stats. It wasn't KGW telling you that. As if it wasn't you sitting in your warm or cool home watching the news. Not you being outside and knowing what's happening at all.
Or seeing it on Instagram and Twitter.
Or seeing it from your warm home or your car or your office on the internet from people who are only interested in dehumanizing and degrading other people so that you can immediately think that it is feasible that folks are feeding geese meth on purpose to make them aggressive. Like,
to what end?
To what end?
Seriously, to what end? I ask.
That was beautiful. I just need folks to make it make sense, and that is what my long week has been about.
You touched on housing and developers and you know that whole lot, and I saw a tweet this morning that was a quote of one of Dan Ryan's campaign posts, and it was something to the effect, the tagline was like, having the courage to do the right thing, you know. Dan Ryan. And the person was like, having the courage to do the right thing for developers, because
I mean, who are,
and then they put a story in there talking about developer Walt Bowen and Ritz-Carlton, the Ritz-Carlton project, and how they have completely, the affordable housing that they were supposed to be providing, which is part of the deal for the development, they completely decided not to do it, which I guess is okay, because in the original agreement, it was like, if you decide not to do it, you have to pay this penalty of $25 million. Here's the thing. Why are you already writing a loophole into this?
Listen.
It's either you do it or your project doesn't move forward. If you decide to change, like, there needs to be a, and then we bring it to a halt. And then we take the, something.
Someone's going to have to explain to me why a Ritz-Carlton is so important in Portland, the city that is literally on fire and run by anarchists, right?
Right.
That the BLM riots have just burned down.
I don't know if you know, but they're still going.
They're still going.
Yeah.
Those flash grenades are definitely the protesters and not the police. Like, what do we need that for if this is in Gotham? Like, who's paying? Who's living there? Right. I thought that we were on fire.
Right.
So we're not on fire enough to have a Ritz-Carlton.
We're not on fire enough. Right.
Because we still, you know.
Yeah.
Need the Ritz-Carlton, and also we need that Ritz-Carlton to have zero pores in it. And it's my understanding that it was like, the affordable housing has to be affordable for, say, the people who are building.
Yes,
this.
That was the understanding.
The carpenters, the plumbers, the electricians, the people that are building this really important housing structure.
They should be able to afford to
They should be
it.
Able to afford to live there. And they were like, oh, totes my goats. That's a thing. And then they were like, actually, no.
No.
Because the $25 million penalty went to an $8 million penalty. And you know what they said? We'll just pay the penalty. And actually, we'd like to negotiate that. Because really, we're bringing more to you than you're bringing to us. Cool. So Ted Wheeler, you think that's an important thing for the city? You think that's so important that people need to make sure that gets greenlit and things just happen? How is that real?
Why don't either you or Dan Ryan think it's important that these developers honor their obligations? Why doesn't anyone think that's important? Or do you even believe in the things that you're getting them to agree in the first place? Like, we're talking about, in the entire building, 20 units. 20 units.
I mean, I've never known a Ritz-Carlton to not be a high-rise, right?
Right. Right. Like, what?
But if I could just say that this is exactly what they did on Williams and Vancouver after completely displacing for, I don't know, the 18th time that community. But it was all, each one of these apartment or condo buildings were given federal and city tax breaks in order to have affordable housing units. And in those units, it's this little handful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's dependent on how many units your building is.
Right.
And then in those particular instances, those mandates, I guess, that rule of having to have under market rate rent for a certain amount of
years.
Units uh-huh. was only for a certain amount of years. So if you had to do that for 3 years, NBD. But you know what else they did? Didn't rent them out.
Right.
Let them sit for the amount of years until done. I have fulfilled my obligation. And also get to lie and say, look, you made me waste these spaces.
Are you going
to
compensate me?
You should be compensating me because I wasn't able to fill those affordable housings, but it was affordable. And like, affordable to whose calculation? This text says, speaking of shoplifting, yeah. Last weekend, Donald Trump said he personally witnessed a quote, migrant stealing a refrigerator.
I'm sorry.
Was it out of Mar-a-Lago? Like,
where would you personally witness?
Was that an employee at Mar-a-Lago?
What are you talking about? Like, what are you like?
A one person stole a refrigerator? Is this sort of like the hate crime they just did on TV on Fox the other day when the, what are those people called? The something, they're not the, like, Hell's Angels. They're not a, but they're.
Guardian Angels?
Is that their name? The in one, New York, yeah, Guardian Angels. Guardian and they're, you know.
With the berets and yes, the subway. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Uh-huh. Oh, they were live up on Fox and were like, oh, looks like there's a migrant right over there. Looks like, look at that. And Sean Hannity, everyone's favorite uncle, is like, turn the camera around. Let us see what's going on. And these people are jumping Spanish speaking people who are not migrants. They are just New Yorkers.
Oh.
Not as if they were migrants, that would be fine to have physically attacked people doing absolutely nothing but existing and speaking a language. The wild, and they basically said they were alerted because they were speaking Spanish and not English. And a thing for me is New York.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
Is it the New York you're talking about where you were confused by someone speaking Spanish? Another city that has a reputation of being, you know, one of the biggest melting pots. Oh, just the diversity overflowing. We love it here. Look at all the pockets, all the neighborhoods. Huh? We're international city. But we don't hear other languages? Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind?
Completely.
And that was live, aired live on Fox. Like, I don't know if it was live.
I mean.
But I know that Sean Hannity had to be like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let me pull that back a little bit after the fact. Because you just harassed people on the street. Mm. Because honestly, and racism knows no bounds.
Yes, of course.
It's got no borders. So when you are so frenzied, you have whipped up all of this in your mind that these people are, I don't know, coming to get you. It's like, and it's a machine of it. You're in New York. It doesn't help that, you know, Eric Adams is out here talking about or throwing on bulletproof vests and being like, I'm going to take it to Greg Abbott. Stop sending these people here.
But doesn't even really say that. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't even really like go at the opponents he should be in the way he should be. You're complaining to Biden about not getting enough federal assistance, but you're not going at Greg Abbott and any other Republican that are sending, that are busing people, that are trafficking people to New York.
Literally human trafficking by the government. And we're like, let's look the other way. There may be a border we should be paying attention right. to right now.
But he does a lot of tough talk, a lot of, you know, puffing up his chest like, you know, what do you say? Never ran, never will. You doing it?
Okay. Shush. Cop gone cop. You know. Right. I gotta give you a couple of these texts.
Okay.
One says, and now I hate it when we miss the timing. Because it says, who, what, where, when, why, how. Did we as a society forget to ask these basic grade school questions? Yes. The answer is flatly yes.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of us don't even know those questions. Another one. A fiance, I'm super clarifying. You said a refrigerator. I did. A refrigerator. Like a person stole a refrigerator, which I'm not even sure from where. Where was Donald? Can someone from the ground, on the ground, report to us where Donald was when he saw a person that he would certainly know their, citizen status.
Right. I saw another one. Love that Jax reference, fam. If you know, you know. Thanks, Blake.
Another one. You Blake, sure it you wasn't know. A turtle carrying his house on his back? Cracked out on the free method foil? Oh my word. Gosh. Another popped in a little late and y'all already spitting. Love y'all. Love. Hey. My man's in them.
Oh my gosh.
Yo, it's wild. It's wild for the night. So we got to get moving
because
8:12.
Yeah.
We're okay. Already late.
All right.
You know,
Monday,
very busy, very important.
All right, music break, and we're back with the noozles. All right.
Oh, should we say what we're talking about?
Oh, we didn't.
Rene Gonzalez. Also, the bottle drop program.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a chat.
Yeah, people are like, hey, you can't be using that money that you get from bottles, all that work that you do all day collecting bottles and cans. You can't do what you want with that money.
Well,
out there buying drugs.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool.
Yep.
Cool. Man. We back.
Somebody say something about some Dominoes. Man, you just put me in a place right now.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
It's been a long time. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Man. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. We got a screenshot here. Chris Olsen on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Conservative grifter Kevin Dahlgren at it again.
Yeah.
This time it's meth geese.
Yes.
Commissioner Rene Gonzalez, how will you handle this crisis as mayor?
Yo!
Assault rifles for animal control? Will you take money from PSR's budget to pay for it?
Okay, Chris is spicy!
He said, let's go.
I love it! All of the spice.
Oh my gosh.
I need Rene Gonzalez to answer a question once. You know? Like, he does a lot of giving us a story and telling us a narrative, but when you ask him a question about it, he'd be like,
right.
Because seeing his little interview after being confronted with video receipts, he was like, oh,
Well,
I need any better. Let's just dive right into that. We talked about Renee being scared of the outside last week, I think.
We did. It was last week. Yeah.
Because, you know, a thing happened to him. And then a week later, he dropped a statement and video saying, this thing happened to me a week ago today. It was awful. It was added to the list of targeted attacks that I, one Renee Gonzalez, continue to face. And then there wasn't an attack. There wasn't an accost. There wasn't a verbal assault. There wasn't, so I'll just say the physical unwanted touch.
Someone brushed by you.
What'd you say?
Someone brushes by you.
Yeah, and it's interesting to use that kind of language instead of like, this person hit me, or they, you know, I don't know, shoved me. Whatever it is that he felt he experienced in that moment.
You know what he sounds like? A cop. I felt threatened.
Oof.
I felt threatened. Ladies and gentlemen, we give to you Renee Gonzalez and the fearful tale of the ghost of accountability's present.
A recently released video is shedding light on the incident involving Portland Commissioner Renee Gonzalez, who described being accosted and subjected to, quote, deliberate, unwanted physical contact during a train ride to City Hall. The footage obtained by the Oregonian captures a woman briefly brushing by Commissioner Gonzalez before sitting down in a seat ahead of him. While there is no audio, Gonzalez recalled the woman criticizing the city's policies around homelessness. Despite the disturbance, Gonzalez disembarked at the next stop, walked to work. Portland police investigated the incident but found no evidence of a crime. However, this was just one of the more than a dozen, quote, alleged attacks, both physical and verbal, recorded by Commissioner Gonzalez and his staff since June of 2022. Mm-hmm. That Google Doc is just flames, right? These incidents include two unreported vandalism incidents at Gonzalez's home, followed by the suspected arson of a family member's car last month. Gonzalez and his team say they see this pattern as a significant threat to democracy and the city of Portland as a whole.
Bet you didn't see that coming.
Additionally, Gonzalez's communications director, Cassidy Vandelman, well, that's not how you say that. Vandelman? I don't know. Is this a typo? Can't tell. Reported being attacked by a man outside City Hall, adding to the climate of fear. As a result, Gonzalez has increased his security measures but remains resolute in his commitment to public service and his mayoral campaign. Despite the challenges, Gonzalez emphasized that he will not be intimidated into dropping out of the mayoral race. He believes his stance on public safety and homelessness has made him a target. Meanwhile, the staff of other commissioners running for mayor, including Mingus Maps and Carmen Rubio, reported varying experiences with threats. TriMet expressed understanding for Commissioner Gonzalez's concerns and hopes to welcome him back on board when he feels safe to do so. I do want to make the point to say that Mingus and Carmen both said stuff be happening, but like not as bad as what Renee's talking about.
Yeah. Forgive me. I was trying to find the results to our poll from yesterday on Instagram, in which I asked our community, Renee Gonzalez's behavior is either misogynoir, purposely deceitful, typical of a PDX politician, or all the above. And let me tell you,
the results are in.
All the above.
Yeah,
how people feel about that. I do.
There's a lot of things here.
Yeah. So, because there's no audio, we are again forced to go off of Renee's word that this woman even brought up that issue. Like, how about none of this happened? How about this person walked by you, sat down, and minded their business?
Because here's the thing. If she did, in fact, say a thing to him, you see him just sort of look up like once or twice. There is no... So there's no, you don't see him react in any way to the accosting, to the verbal and physical unwanted contact with a citizen.
At all.
I mean, legit, he's sitting there reading a book. Or looking down. I mean, he's just looking at his phone. Whatever it is that he's doing, it's not getting attacked.
Right. He's not responding to anything.
And this is dangerous for multiple reasons. This is not just a LOL, this guy is funny, that's wild kind of thing. Not when, as we were discussing previously, the heavily moneyed interest that is here, that is paying, that is causing divisions, that is purposely distracting, which is purposely dehumanizing. And he's just a part of that. He's just a tool in that tool shed to do those things. But creating a story like this, fabricating it, this is a, I mean, it's either a creative writing prompt or a fever dream.
I'm mad at you.
Legitimately, you just created that out of whole cloth and then not just said it. You had staffers help prepare a statement and a press release. And then you filmed yourself, or they filmed you, saying, recounting a thing that didn't happen. And within that, you said, I am multimodal. I want nothing more than to be able to safely ride public transportation. But as me, Renee Gonzalez, I can't do that until TriMet is able to guarantee safe ridership.
TriMet was like, hold my beer.
You are the city commissioner of public safety, telling us you are not safe in the public. The public isn't safe. And this is, you are intimidated enough to no longer ride the max and to need to have a driver, right? We need to pay for a driver for you instead of a bus pass now. We need to pay for security for you. When you were just a man about town yesterday, a real man riding a bike on the train.
This is what I'm saying, though. Like, why do you feel so comfortable? Why do you feel like you could just get that off? As the commissioner who is responsible for public safety, why didn't it register to you that this is the most ludicrous thing I could say, that I feel unsafe in public?
Well, it's not ludicrous, because what you need to do, and if the most recent example to me is Donald Trump basically being both the victim of everything and the victor of everything. That gives you this sense that it gives the people that believe what Renee believes, which do they, because he's making it up, but it gives those people this sense of the things that we believe are under attack. And we got to be able to say and do and act the way that we think we should be able to. Not like, you know, there isn't a fix that they're looking for outside of punishment for people existing. And right. Then he is creating stories in order for people to continue to dehumanize, degrade the others. And I'm going to continue to make this point, that this is now the second Black woman that has been framed by Renee and his friends. And they don't like that framing, because folks want to talk about how much Joanne Hardesty lied. And I don't even know what it is that they're talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's something like she called the police on a Lyft driver and they're mad about it. Because how could you call to defund the police but then call them when you need them?
Right.
You being so completely out of touch with anyone else's reality, and you not understanding what defund the police means, as in stop giving them all of our money and let's spread that out a bit. You not understanding that is on you.
Yeah, it's a you problem, bro.
That doesn't make her a liar or any other black person who, or any other person, period, but certainly no other black person that said defund the police. If they call the police, that is not a hypocritical move.
Right.
Not as if you give anything about hypocrites. Mm. Because here again, Renee is so intimidated that he can't ride the bus, but he will not be intimidated to back down from running for mayor. Make that make sense. Because it's the same place, sir.
Right.
You're facing those same scary people, right? Like, so this woman yelled at you about policy is what he told us. He was yelled at. And then in his response to the TriMet video, says something to the effect of, yeah, that's kind of consistent with my memory. Hard to tell, to get all the context from watching this video, right?
Were you there or not?
She didn't yell. There, it wasn't loud. It was just, you know, along the criticism, along with the surprise touch, really, you know, threw this man for a loop. So much so, he thought he was jumped by a woman on the TriMet.
Right.
On the max.
Right. And needed to call the authorities.
Like, how is this? The police investigated it? Why are you wasting our resources? Why is no one that is a supporter of his not upset?
Right.
Why are you not upset that this person lies directly to your face? But more than anything, it's not just that, you know, politicians lie and that's a thing that they do. It's also none of the things he wants to do will help you even.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't, you're not even in your own best interest. You are just sadly mistaken that you are on that side of the power structure. And for the couple of people that are, is this really what you want?
Do you know what you want?
Is that it? Because the moment that you aren't able to flex that power, what happens? Renee need to go? I have the issue with, he ran on fixing things that he wouldn't have even been in charge of and is still somehow helping to make those things worse.
Right.
He's expanding his power by whipping up these divisions and distractions while diverting solution money. He is taking money we voted for to go to certain things to give it to the Portland police and the Portland fire. And a city commissioner where I live sabotaging programs that work when they're funded while people die is a huge problem to me.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a whole liability, fam. Like, what are we talking about?
I mean, it is, this person also ran on racism and classism. And folks ate it up.
Right up. Ate it right up.
Ate it up. It's so much so that they're now like, you know, I just still can't get over how many people are still talk about Joanne Hardesty like she's running today.
You know, you're allowed, even though you ate it up, you're allowed to jump off of that ship anytime you want.
And
you don't have to ride it all the way.
Till the wheels fall off,
yeah.
You could learn something.
Yeah.
In all the arguing folks do. They could take a pause, right?
You don't feel as though Renee has given you a reason to rethink your position?
Like, I mean, that's the thing.
Over and over again?
I think it's incredibly powerful that anyone, but certainly the commissioner of public safety could create a whole story, be caught creating the whole story. We know he created that.
Yeah, because the response now shouldn't be that there's no audio. The response should be, we have no reason to believe anything you said about this account.
It literally, period. Like, you should objectively be able to say that was bad and that makes him untrustworthy.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you can't still look for the truth. And when he's talking,
right,
you just have to do more work than just believing him off what he says.
Yeah.
But he does not deserve your trust.
No.
He doesn't deserve anyone's trust. He's making things up. So I don't, that Google Doc with these incidents that you haven't reported, because it's not a big enough deal to report it, but it's a big enough deal to put it on a post-it note. And then bring it out when a reporter's in your face and you're like, look at here, put your camera on this. I printed out my Google Doc. But folks continue. It is powerful that folks can continue to believe his message, even though the messenger has created the reason for the message.
Right.
Because those same people are not giving that give him that leeway that he doesn't deserve. They do not give any programs intended on solving any of these crises by not punishing people a full day to get started before they start talking about repealing and recalling. Not a single day before it's recall 110. You don't know he's in the way. You think that it was an okay thing to do to take away tarps and tents in a wet city?
Right.
A wet and cold city?
We never got 110, y'all. We never got it.
We've yet to get it.
Yeah.
And his taking things away without providing an alternative. And jail is not an alternative. We are in multiple crises here. We don't have enough public defenders, baby. You calling for everyone to get arrested, and then you're mad at the DA for not prosecuting things that, number one, most of them aren't crimes.
Right.
So you don't prosecute those. And number two... they would not be able to have the speedy trial that they are entitled to, that you are entitled to.
Mm-hmm.
They would not have representation at said trial, therefore, no trial. Therefore, let out. So there's your revolving door. There goes a lot of your waste. Here we are just having cops do things for the day. That's not public safety. Arresting people for existing is not public safety.
You know what is public safety? Providing safe environments for people.
You cannot be the commissioner of public safety when you do things like this, because this is not just a little lie that he did. He is continually getting those lies off on Black women. And the reason that works is because Black women are not believed. And what do you think about, not you, fiancés, but what do they think about Black women? Loud, angry, aggressive, intimidating. It creates things like this. And these are followers. These are people who like a Rene Gonzalez, who is lying to all of us, saying he is a moderate Democrat. If he is a moderate Democrat, then he is the same as Tina Kotek? He is the same as Kate Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He is the same as Jessica Vega Peterson. So it must change in your mind, but also it must be the same. Just make it a man. Like, what's right. the... Because if he's a moderate Democrat, then doing moderate Democrat stuff, reasonable moderate Democrat stuff, what's the change that he's created for you? I'll tell you that the people that like him and the people that like the policies he wants to enact are not moderate Democrats.
No.
One of my most favorite examples of how dangerous it is to do this kind of thing is this tweet where and I'll put this on our Instagram when we're done with the show. In this tweet, this person has a picture of a still from the woman on the train,
mm-hmm.
and has a picture of a photoshopped Joanne Hardesty as a houseless woman. And it says, there's no audio in the video and the woman looks like an angry, thick thug. Wise people can easily interpret why that blurry encounter made him nervous, especially as a public official. Wheeler endured similar and worse nonsense. Get a clue about how civilizations stay civilized.
If I were cis, I'd be suing somebody. You're putting...
Oh, 1,000%.
You've put this woman in harm's way.
1,000%.
This images, video of this person is out here in the public and you've accused them of accosting you.
Of making the You've accused them of making you feel so unsafe that you can no longer go to work the way you go to work.
Right.
That's a very big deal. Right. I'm sorry. If that were to have happened, someone scaring you so bad or an encounter being so much that you have to change your routine would be a big deal. But it was a lie. It's a fabrication. And the people that want what he wants don't care.
Right.
They don't care that it's a lie. It is just another thing that they get to say. They get to keep saying that he is being targeted. He's not. Why do you believe that? You don't actually have a reason to believe that.
Right.
And I'm not like QAnon out here. You know, like I'm not looking for every conspiracy or every this thing is that. But wild for the night that the police don't find nothing wrong with any of the things that you keep talking about. But there's arson.
Right.
There's arson from the department that you are in charge of and continue to give more money.
Right. Someone says the amount of people who are comparing this to the murder a few years ago on TriMet is wild. And a scary instance of the internet just running with no knowledge of where they're going.
It's imagine using that as an example in defense of Renee.
Right.
In defense. Did Renee have anything to say when that happened? When Jeremy Christian killed people? Did he say it's unsafe?
Right.
I can't ride it, and neither should you.
Did that happen? I don't recall that happening.
I mean, I just don't understand being the person flat out from, you know, what you were getting at earlier, Ambush. I don't know how you are the commissioner of public safety saying you don't feel safe, because then that means you're not doing your job, does it not?
Easily.
Are you not saying out loud, I have failed so much that I am scaled?
Right. I failed so much, I deserve to be mayor. Go away. Like, really, go away. Seriously. But I do want to make sure, you know, that we drive this point home really hard. How Renee and his antics aside, we're talking about the ramifications. And how the media, I feel like, isn't really talking about this or harping on it, and maybe I'm just missing it. And I don't want you guys to miss it either. We talk about Renee a lot. And you know, in this particular situation, there is a face. There's an actual person. Someone's life
right.
has been put in harm's way. And there's no apology from his staff or himself. There's nothing. It's this person is a meaningless pawn in this man's narrative. And if we allow him to just move forward as if he's done nothing wrong, this isn't like a little white lie. You accuse someone of accosting you in public. And had the evidence not surfaced, you would have continued to move on with the exact same story.
Right.
And we know how these people get whipped up. We know how feverishly they get to be out here doing wild mess. Now this person is at risk. Like, fam, nah.
What folks really also have to understand, Ambush, is that wild stuff happening doesn't always look like, an act that is recorded. It also looks like that mindset where you see a black woman on the train and you say that looks like an angry, thick thug. And that translates to whatever that person's job is. And if that person deals with any black people in that day, that absolutely informs how he treats those people.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you
and,
for saying that.
And this is the thing. We have gotten so far where we believe it can't be racist unless A, they have a Klan hood on, and B, They have to have said I was being actively racist in that moment for folks to be like, oh, he did a racism.
Right. The person can say it even in that moment, I'm being racist, and then still be called into question.
Or oh, do we really know what's in their heart? I don't know what was in his heart. You know?
Whole manifesto.
Was that a slip? I think it was just a slip when he said he did the racism. No, that's actually probably a video game's fault.
Word to Nikki Haley.
Like, the point is these are systemic issues that people don't understand are systemic, right? Or don't want to believe. And so they don't think that not having a law on the books that says you can disproportionately arrest Black people, because that's not on the books, there is no racism, right? But how do judges respond?
Right.
How do prosecutors respond? How do police respond? When their training includes things that are full-blown racism, full-blown bias being injected
in your training,
legitimate indoctrination. It's a part of the training. And we're not supposed to be concerned? When someone makes things up, we haven't seen this before. We aren't living the ramifications of that. The fact that it's 2024 and this grown-up can be caught in 4K lying to us, and y'all is out here talking about he's better than any liberal. Like, be for real. Also, isn't he a liberal? According to him.
Right.
According to y'all, he is. So in what regard? Who is this for then?
I want to get this story in real quick. Because it was requested by a listener last week. And it's, you know, it's something we want to make sure is on your radar. Oregon's bottle bill, a pioneering recycling law hailed for its environmental benefits since its inception in 1971, is under consideration for an expansion that questions arise about its efficacy and unintended consequences. You guys ready for this? Critics argue that the bottle bill has drifted from its original purpose of environmental protection to become a system that perpetuates addiction and exacerbates public health crisis. With the proliferation of fentanyl and its rock-bottom prices, bottle returns have become a convenient and dangerous currency for those battling addiction. No surprise, Commissioner Gonzalez and his staff have documented over a dozen alleged attacks, both physical and verbal, linked to the bottle return system since June of 2022. The bottle bill's impact extends beyond individuals, affecting businesses, communities, and the Oregon Beverage Recycling Cooperative, which operates the redemption program. While the co-op reaps significant profits from unredeemed containers, businesses face challenges and safety concerns associated with the influx of activity due to can redemption and associated drug activity. Calls for reform echo throughout Portland, with proposals ranging from eliminating cash payouts for bottle returns to investing in treatment services and alternative redemption options.
I want to scream right now.
However, the path forward remains uncertain as stakeholders grapple with the complexities of addiction, poverty, and urban decay. As debates over the future of the bottle bill continue, Portlanders confront the urgent need for compassionate and effective solutions to support those most in need. We're consistently talking about the results of failed policies and resources not given to the communities that need them. We're never talking about the fix in that part of the pipeline. The result of not having the resources in the right place, the addiction, the crime, the poverty, we jump over to that and we say, how can we punish people for being at their lowest point? How can we punish them?
take away the lowest point. How can we punish them for existing a way I don't?
Facts. Thank you for that correction.
Because that's it. They're not doing the things I want them to do. Kind of.
Right.
Energy.
Text. What a blatant war on poverty. Blatant. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I really like that. I asked the question on Twitter, like, what do racists see when they see, you know, Renee lying? Or they did not love that question. They didn't answer it, but they were offended by it. But like, what do I want to know what people see? So like you just said, urban decay.
Mm.
How do we get there? Right.
Right.
What happens? Do you think it's just that there are poor people living in a neighborhood, so it just gets bad? Did it just fall into a problem? Or is there disinvestment, purposeful disinvestment? And it isn't just because of the Black people that live there, or the brown people that live there, or the poor people that live there. Right. It isn't just that. It is also about the ability to revitalize that neighborhood in just a few short years. And so not only have we saved a whole bunch of coin from not investing in this community, we're now going to displace it. And we're now going to make lots of dollars off of the area. I really like. So many of the folks that are the anti-Portland folks are not from Portland, are not living in Portland.
Facts.
And I have to remind myself of that all the time, that they're just here on the internet doing dumb stuff because they're bored. And it's unfortunate that this is something I care so much about, because then I will argue with a bot on accident. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the point being that what they're mad at are the symptoms. We have got to get people upset at the actual root cause. Because we are all upset about the things, right? The end result is we do not want people to have to live outside. We don't have the same conclusion about why they are there and what should happen yet. But if we were able to take a pause and find out why maybe so many people at the same time are all of a sudden exploding a homeless rate all over the country. If you could maybe pause and think that this is not unique to the city that you maybe don't even live in.
Ooh. Mm.
Like, this isn't unique. The data is everywhere.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And instead of just... like I said, take a pause, read it. If you don't believe it, start doing things to like disprove it, instead of saying, well, Kevin Dahlgren told me.
Mm.
Well, Real PDX said.
Right.
You have to absolutely do more than that. Certainly if you're going to be out here talking about people aren't free thinkers. And here you are just running with someone's completely fabricated narrative and don't even care.
So here's the thing about the bottle program. I'm sure you guys have seen these bottle drops all over the place. We frequently are filling up these green bags and taking them to bottle drops. Our family, with the leadership of our matriarch, has made a really good transition from just sodas and all the sugary stuff to a lot of sparkling drinks. The sparkling waters is where we are with that. We are knocking these cans out every week. Bam, bam, bam. I got a little can collection in my trunk for when I'm out grabbing some bottles or whatever I'm drinking, tea or whatever, you know? And it helps. It helps. You know, put a little bit on groceries, put a little bit on gas. We're not using it to survive, but God forbid, you know, we would be in that situation.
Also, folks are throwing these in the trash. The entire point is that they get recycled and they're just throwing them in the trash.
Right. So if you've been, you know, out in public anywhere and you see a houseless citizen and they're gathering cans and bottles, you do realize like that's work, right? It's not like us in our home and we're just throwing them in a bag as we use them. This is someone looking, collecting, traveling miles to get these bags filled and then going inside a Freddy's or wherever to buy the green bags, to get the labels, to create the account, to do the payouts.
Bruh.
And now you're saying, hey.
I don't like what you do with that.
This reminds me of people being upset that people were using EBT dollars to buy steak and lobster.
It ain't nothing like counting a poor person's pocket, right? It ain't nothing like it to make you feel better about you, to make you feel better about your choices. You don't have nothing to say at all about the fact that you spent the rest of your money going out.
Right.
That you spent it on drinks, on a date, trying to get whatever, right? You got no problem when people frivolously spend money on things they don't need. In any other instance, like if that person is housed, as long as that person is housed, as long as I can't tell that you do drugs, because I do my drugs quiet. You're doing it loud. One of these texts says addiction is a healthcare issue. Mm-hmm. We need to treat addiction with support and safety. 1,000%.
Period.
It is also a public safety issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is also an economic issue.
Yeah.
And you can't treat addiction until that person has a safe place to live. The fact that we think that we can just give somebody treatment, not this to this text, mm-hmm. But to give someone treatment means that they're like to that point, they have to be safe.
Right.
People are not using and becoming addicted, or they're not homeless because they're addicted. That is what we have been continuously fed. Don't give homeless people money because you're just enabling their drug habit.
Woo. We got another one said, don't see how it's hard to understand all these things like crime and drug use is directly connected to people's material reality.
Period.
Do people think they just do these things for fun?
Yes.
Also,
actually.
Right. Also, pocket watching the poor is so crazy.
It's crazy.
It's bananagrams, guys.
It's one of the things that's absolutely never going to make sense to me. And it did at some point in my life make sense to me.
Yeah.
You know,
and then
like
you grew up.
And then I grew up.
You matured.
Then you read a book. Then you realize that this is not individual choices. Everything happened. It can't be if everyone's having similar experiences, right? Like, again, I'm going to say, you just like we watched the houseless community explode.
Swell. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, we don't remember the time frame. We don't remember what was happening during that time. We don't know what could have happened. Y'all just think, I guess, that people started doing fentanyl in quarantine for fun.
Right.
Because that certainly makes sense. Because, yes, everyone was so depressed that they couldn't go to a bar or get their hair cut.
Right.
Or get their roots touched up, that they then had to become people that bought drugs illegally and did them so much that they then became addicted and lost their house and all their things. I mean, I really want you to think that through. For as much as that has been the narrative forever, for at least my lifetime, that is what happens. You know, you're going to lose everything if you start doing that crack cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
And it isn't that you won't necessarily. You very well could lose everything. How did the crack get here?
Right.
Where did the crack go? Why does the crack have a different punishment than its
and cocaine
brother in arms?
Right.
Powder cocaine. I mean, at some point it has to matter where all of this comes from. At some point it has to matter the root to it. Some point you got to quit being performative. You got to quit pretending like you understand something when it's just the very, very surface.
Yep. Yep.
It's big, gross. This, to one of the text point, this, when we say poverty is a policy choice, we are talking about class warfare. That is exactly what that is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is. And you have to absolutely have classism for capitalism to work. You absolutely have to have homeless people. You have to have people in such poverty, impoverished conditions for this whole train to keep going. You have to. It's built in. You cannot become the successful billionaire without exploiting people. And I want all of us to understand that the fact that that has been pushed as a goal for us, that is a goal. That's a measure of your intelligence and success to have been able to exploit as many people as possible so that you could hoard money, because you can't do enough with that large of a number.
Right.
So in order for you to just have a whole bunch of zeros, decimals in your bank account, someone doesn't eat. Someone dies on the street. And if the thing that upsets you about that is a tent, a tent, a sleeping bag, like, I'm big tired that this is even the conversation. How can we still be here? I feel like I've been saying this for the entire time that we've done this show. How could we still be here?
How can we change this conversation? How can we make sure we're not having this same conversation a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now?
At what point do we take the lessons and apply them across something else? Why does every day need to be a new day? Why does every instance need to be a new instance? Right. How come we can't use the knowledge from a bad experience, like, you know, taking tarps and tents in a time when people have no shelter? How come we can't learn from that and go, that didn't work? You know what else didn't work? Punishing people for doing petty crime. That doesn't work. And we know that.
We got the data.
Because from everywhere, too. Again, none of it unique. None of it only to here. But those anti-Portland, the anti-Seattle, anti-San Francisco, anti-California, I guess, as a state. Like, all of those anti-people, the understanding is so little, is so minuscule, that it is, I don't know how we move forward. Yeah. Because when you are so deeply entrenched in believing what you believe, you are unmovable in those moments. So you are already creating a reason, a justification, for why the thing you just read or the thing you were just told isn't real. Because in fact, the earth is flat and I won't be moved.
You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and then the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. And this was News of My Fiance, Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, and our illustrious podcast editor, Kyle G. Man, Kyle, you got your work cut out for you this morning. Shout out to everybody that joined the conversation. There are so many unread texts. They will be in the comments and body of the podcast episode. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Thank you for staying engaged with us. For real.
Seriously.
These are troubled times.
They are. And we got some.
Not that we haven't ever been out of trouble.
But we got some heavy months coming up.
Yeah.
This
election cycle is going to be a lot.
Yeah. So don't let the individual distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. And stay tuned for Tom Hartman.
Bye.